as well known as you became in Tulsa for your law work and work with Nancy, everybody talks about Ray and Nancy as being worldwide travelers. You became well known. So did you discover when you were dating? How did that all begin? Where did this thing get planted?
Oh, you're asking a funny question because it was a surprise to both of us. We had managed to save, while I was in private practice, $2,000. Nancy had her earnings, I had mine. She actually earned $2,000 a year during that period of time. We said, what should we do? We've got some savings here. With her having spare time in the summer, we said, well, why don't we take a summer trip someplace? Where? Europe. Great, let's go. So we started biking from downtown Tulsa, where we lived, 9th and Main, to Jenks. Every night when I came home, she'd have an orange mesh bag ready for me, and we'd go to Jenks on bicycles that had no special gears in those days and build up our muscles for this bike trip in Europe that we were going to take. And we felt prepared. We got to Europe. It was to be an 11-week trip with 13 countries visited on bicycle. We start outside of London in Eton, rented two bikes that also had no gears, and were to bike to Oxford. We were 1 hour out when it started bucketing rain. We were on what are called the Ups of England because it's continuously up. We decided, this is crazy, let's hitchhike. And we were able to hitchhike with our bicycles on a flatbed truck that had a cement bag load on it. We got our bicycles and us on top of the cement bags, holding on as best as we could, and ended up going roughly two-thirds of the distance that remained to get to Oxford. Our goal was to spend our vacation time at no place where the accommodations called for more than $3 a night, because that was the max for us getting through this period of time. And we succeeded with one exception, and that exception was because we thought it was $3, but it was $3 per person. That was how the money part went. For accommodations, the rest was for whatever else was needed, but no luxury. We did everything we wanted to do. I believe that for both of us, what we did on that trip and the countries we saw, the experiences we had, are more indelibly imprinted than any other trip that we have taken where we remember individual experiences but not all of the individual experiences we had. We loved it. There were two ways you could send correspondence home, which we did, and Nancy's parents, who were inclined to travel quite a bit, wrote back to us, and we picked up our mail one day to find that they were going to be in Paris, and they knew that we were going to be in Paris at the end of our trip because that's our point of departure. We knew nothing else about where we would be at any given day or time. So they met us in Paris, and my father-in-law actually met us in the lobby of the hotel, said, get to your rooms before you see your mother and before we have any further discussions. We were so dirty. And I had lost 10 pounds, and I don't know what Nancy had lost. But it was sparse living and dirty living. Anyhow, we had a great time.
So that was the spark. Is there any one particular country that you went back to that became your favorite?
Well, there was no country that was a favorite. There were many countries. For those that fit the definition of going to Western countries, Italy and England, we went back a number of times to both of those countries, more so than others. But we visited most of the European countries. For countries in other parts of the world, South America, Africa, Asia, what would be a favorite for us, I would have to classify as a country that had remarkable mountains. Nepal, with our 7 Himalayan trips and 8 trips in total, was definitely our favorite mountain area. Then I would start classifying other countries by how the continents provided what we were looking for. Always, always we were looking for cultural differences. Because on our first trip, we learned very quickly that cultural differences gave us the largest possible experience that in some way would help us understand the people. And that meant getting out into the country. On our very first trip, we would take bus rides into the country, countryside I'm speaking of, and mingle with people of more limited backgrounds. This was just a part of all of our travel from day one. As we traveled more, and Nancy was more involved through her sociology courses with not just cultural differences, but differences that grew out of culture on top of culture on top of culture, so that it was not just something of recent derivation, but gave us pleasure to get with people who had been the way they were from a historic past. That got us started going to regions where we were with primitive people, staying with primitive people, and finding that this is a way that we could get to understand them. Whether they were headhunters 25 years before we got there, we felt safe. That was 25 years ago, and it was safe. But it produced a different experience than going to a country where civilization, as we know it in our Western world, has existed for hundreds of years. So that dictated how we traveled and the pleasure that we got out of travel.
Did you ever think your life was in danger on any trip?
We had dangerous experiences. When we talked about, we're told, could be life-threatening. But we never felt life threatened. Our mountain trips, we didn't feel our lives were threatened.
So the altitudes you were going to?
Altitudes and the terrain. Just the simple crossing of a roaring stream beneath you on a single log about 12 inches wide is dangerous and is life threatening. Nancy and I had no trouble balancing in those days. I couldn't balance on a street today. And going to countries within a year after they had been in conflict one way or another, in either war or a way of life that endangered life. We had experiences in those countries and just didn't feel our lives were going to be endangered. We had a little angel that we kept on our shoulder.
And both of you were equally as adventurous. She right with you.
Oh, by all means. When one was questioning, should we, because there were many times that we had that question, even to take the trip, the other could very well have been the balance that said, and pushed, let's go. So that it was always, always, always a joint decision. But it took some persuading sometimes. So we would go, and then we would get there. Our daughter was the only child who didn't worry. And her statement always was, you guys, if you get on a mountain and you fall off, you'll fall off doing what you wanted to do, and that's fine with me. Our eldest was the one who was always the most worried. And had reason to be. We tell our friends of where we went, and one of our friends says, I just want to know where you've gone so that I'll know where not to go. And it was that kind of travel, yes, and we understood that.
Did you go to Israel many times?
Twice. Nancy went to speak once, and we went first to see the country. Then she went to Haifa and spoke. She was invited to speak through various coincidences, and then people knowing her here would tell someone in Israel, you know, that kind of thing. To England, we went twice because of her having speaking engagements. both of which led to and contributed to our sense of travel. Our first trip to England together with Nancy speaking put the burden on me of finding a place or something that we could do when she finished her speaking engagement or involvement with the school where she was speaking for a period of time, to find some place where she could go and relax because she got kind of tired from people and involvement. I found in England public ways where ingress and egress had been dedicated in almost every town we were in, and were told that that was true throughout England. And we certainly experienced it. Several times I was able to find things to do that involved our walking. Wonderful walks, one time into a 5-acre field of golden blooming daffodils where the cows were pasturing. We tippy-toed in and then thought, well, the cows are rolling in it, and we started skipping and jumping and eventually running and playing in this field of daffodils. We came home, and this happened to be up a hill before we got to it, and we started thinking about just taking walks. We didn't do walks at home, so we're in bed talking about it. We like to go walking. Well, what would be better than the Himalayas? We'd never done a mountain climb in our life. So we said, great, let's go. And we went. We arrived. And Nancy was in tears after the first day. We had not taken one single little exercise class to prepare for this. Everybody else had spent at least 3 months and most 6 preparing. So we took this crazy trip, and fortunately the second in command, a Sherpa, natives who carry the baggage and the camping gear. He took us aside and asked if we wouldn't mind his teaching us how to walk in a mountain. Because it's walking we were doing, trekking. We were not doing technical mountain climbing and never did technical climbing. So he taught us how to do mountain walking and trekking. We were forever thankful, tried to find him again to thank him, but never could. Nancy asked on every trip we went in Nepal. Just loved it.